Okay. So I don't have a pre-written curriculum or agenda for our course. We'll kind of do it as we go and make a Google Doc that records and writes down what we have done or as we do it. And so that after the fact, we'll have our curriculum for the next time we teach students from the beginning. Okay, so I'm going to share my screen right here. And you're gonna notice that I'm gonna be running Blender, starting up Blender from the command line instead of clicking on the Blender icon to start it. The reason for doing this from the command line, starting Blender from the command line, is because since we're gonna be scripting, a lot of the error messages that might be generated, or the more detailed error messages that might be generated, will be generated into the terminal window from which Blender was started. And if you click on the Blender icon, you won't have that window, so you won't have access to that important diagnostic information if you've made some error in your scripting. So I already have a script written that finds Blender for me, called My Blender. If you had intended the cell modeling workshop earlier this summer, we had distributed to you a special version of Blender with Cell Blender built into it, an mCell built into it. And that comes with a script called My Blender, which fires up Blender from the command line nicely for you. So I'm gonna run that. You can see we get messages as it starts up. And then we get Blender. Okay, so let me move my window to the side with all your pictures in it. Okay, when you start up Blender from scratch, this is kind of the default way that it looks. You have a camera, a lump of clay called the cube. Like in an artist studio, you can start with that as your lump of clay for modeling and making things, and you have a lamp, right? But we don't really care about those things for what we're doing, but in Hollywood, they care about those things. Okay, so this main area here is called the 3D view window, and within the 3D view window, we're rendering or we're seeing the objects that are part of what's called a scene in Blender. And you get a default scene called scene. You can name the scene whatever you want. This one's just called scene. And then within the scene, we have props or items that are like on the stage in like in a theater or in a movie studio. You've got props or things that are out on the stage being filmed by the camera. This might be the actor and this is the lighting. So by interacting with all these things here, you, the person sitting behind the mouse, you are taking on the role of director and cameraman and lighting guy and the cast, the person who does the casting and every single role and the production and producer, executive producer, all these roles are yours when you sit behind the mouse. And this view that you have is the view of of the director walking around his set, his or her set, and telling the cameraman or the lighting guy to do what they do. But since you're the director and the cameraman and the lighting guy, you have to make it do it. Okay, so built into Blender are ways to make the camera move automatically, make the actor play out some role automatically, make the lights change the type of lighting and the brightness of the lighting. All that is done by the person making their CGI movie. And it can be done through various built-in things in Blender, or it could be done through writing scripts in Python. And I'll show you how we can do some of those things in the scene. So I won't go into too much detail more about the Blender interface and the mouse and all that stuff. You can go on blender.org and read about, you know, how to move your mouse and do all this stuff. And you've already learned some of that in some of the other workshops that we've had. Okay. So, so some of you have been working with Blender for a while and you're familiar with those things, but now you want to know, well, how do I automate and script the action things in my scene? And one way to do that is to go into the scripting screen layout in Blender, and you get to that by going underneath this screen layout drop down and choose the scripting screen layout. And when you do that, you get a place over here to write scripts and choose different scripts that you've already written. And you also get a Python console down here on the bottom, and of course of another view of your scene. So one really convenient way to start learning about the interface, the scripting interface, is to experiment with typing in commands into this Python interface at the bottom. And when you first fire up the Python interface, it tells you, there's some hotkeys for doing various things. I usually ignore the hotkeys. But important to note is there's some built-in Python modules that have already been imported and defined for you in this interface down here. If you were to write a Python script up here, the Python script you write up here comes up naked, or without any predefined imports defined in there. So you would have to do your own Python imports up in here for any new script that you write. But down here in the built-in console, you have a BPY imported already. BPY is short for Blender Python, so that's the Blender Python API. And you also have bpy.data imported and bpy ops, which are the operations. Bpy data is the internal data model that has the scene and the objects and the cameras and lights, all the different items that are part of your Blender world are stored in this Blender bpy.data dictionary. And props are Blender Python properties, types, context, utilities, Blender GL, which is access to the Blender internal SGI, Silicon Graphics, or OpenGL graphics library. BLF, I can't remember what BLF is, Blender something. And then math utils are a bunch of utilities built into Blender for manipulating matrices and vectors and transformations, quaternions, all kinds of different mathematical utilities built in there. And then there's some convenient variables that you get. One is called capital C. That's a shortcut to BPY context. And capital D is a shortcut to BPY data. Okay.
Hey, Tom.
Yes.
Sorry to interrupt. On Don's screen here, he doesn't see anything below the D line. So it looks like the prompt is being obscured by the zoom bar. So I don't know if you can move it up a little bit, maybe adjust your window.
On mine.
Yeah. I don't know if anybody else is having that problem, but I don't see anything below the.
All right. Hold on one second.
Because I imagine you're going to start typing pretty soon.
Yeah.
There you go. That's great. You can go down a little further if you want to make it a little bigger.
Oh, I'm going to make it wide. What about perfect. Down? Where does it start to cut
perfect.
Off?
Perfect. You're starting right to there. Lose stuff.
Okay, right there.
Yeah.
Is that good?
Good for us. Is everybody else good?
Okay.
Good.
Very good. Yeah, I think maybe my screen, since it's a Mac, might not be HD layout, might be a little bit taller than HD layout. So thanks for that that detail. Okay. So what I'm going to show you now are some of the basic things that you can do in a Python script to interact, say, with different objects in your scene, or create new objects, or manipulate the vertices and faces of your objects. These are the kinds of things that you might want to do in your own Blender scripts. So the first thing to note, which is really helpful, is that if you have an object that's selected, then you can operate on it, right? So the when you operate on objects, you can operate on one object at a time, or some of the operations built into Blender are meant to operate on one object at a time, and other commands are meant to operate on a collection of selected objects. Okay. And so, for example, here under my object, under my object menu, let's see, what's a useful thing to do? You'll notice that, well, maybe there's nothing to do there. Okay. So here's the 3D cursor in the scene. And one of the things I can do here in this menu is I can say snap the, snap the 3D cursor to the selected object. And you'll notice that when I go in the menu and I navigate, you know, by the mouse to point at that menu item, if I hover over that long enough, I'll see some shortcut information about that. And one of the pieces of information I see in there is the Python command that would perform that operation in a script. So you can see here, it says snap cursor to center of selected item or items. And then the Python for it is bpy.ops.view3d.snapcursor to selected. Now, if I click on that and do it, then the 3D cursor does indeed jump to that object right there. So you can see here's the 3D cursor over here. And if I say object snap cursor to selected, boom, there it was, right? But so now let's make a Python script that does that, a Python command that does that for us automatically. If I go in here and let's see, if I right click, let's see if I find that and I right click on it with my mouse, it says copy Python command. So it's going to make a copy of the Python command to the clipboard right there. And then if I click down here and I paste, I can paste that command into my Python console down here. And if I hit enter, aha, it says BPY ops view 3D snap cursor to selected. And it says context is incorrect. So this is what happens when you don't have a curriculum written down ahead of time to know what works and what doesn't work. So this is how we teach for real, right? Okay, so let's not worry about that then. Let's not try to do that because I'm not sure why it's telling me that. Maybe Bob has an idea about why it's doing that, but maybe not.
I think it's, you're not in the right context. You're not in the 3D view, basically. It's not.
Yeah, I think that's what it means. So you're gonna run into this with your own script. So I'm glad this is coming up early. So these things called Blender Python operations are only valid in certain graphical user interface contexts. And in this case, this operation, I think, is operating at the level of this 3D view window, because this is the 3D cursor in this 3D view window. In fact, this says BPY ops view 3D. So it has to be operating on a particular 3D view window, but we're executing this command inside this Python console. And maybe the Python console thinks that's the context for the command that I'm executing. And so it can be a little bit confusing there. But most of the time we're going to be operating on objects and not operating on the whole 3D view window. So let's not worry about that. Okay, so let's maybe do something else here.
Can I make you a question?
I'm
kind of confused with the context. So that really means kind of a different like object view or object mode or.
Yeah. So the context is the. Since Blender has many windows in it, and you can have many objects in your scene, that the context really, and also you can have more than one scene in your in your world. Although for 99.9% of what we'll be doing with our with our neuroscience or our biological science, we'll just have one scene with some objects in that scene. The context really refers to when you're performing. Well, context, this concept of context, I think is only becomes important when you're using the BPY ops, which are the operators. The built-in operators built into Blender, the context really only applies to these operations. So operations have to occur within a certain context. So it could be an object context, meaning it's an operator that operates on objects, one or more objects. And therefore, in order for a certain operator to be valid to perform, you have to have an object that's selected. And if it's an operator that operates on only one object, you have to make sure that you only have one object selected when you perform that operation. So that's really what context is. It's either a scene context or an object context for performing the operation that you want to perform. Let's explore this the context just a little bit more to get started here. Since we ran into this issue, so one of the things we have at our disposal is the bpy.context. Which has a shortcut of C. And one of the beautiful things about Python is this ability to introspect things in Python. And the main way you introspect is through the Python command called dir. And so I can say dir on C, and these are the different things available to us under the context. So I'm not sure what some of these things are. They're listed in alphabetical order, but one of the ones in here is called the selected objects. One of the things here is called selected objects, which is probably going to be a list. So if I say c.selected objects, then you can see it gives me a list back and it says the selected object is bpy data.objects cube. So this is a bpy data objects is a dictionary, and I'm getting a list here of dictionary items, and there's only one item in the list and it's cube because, well, right now there's only one object selected. And if I look up here along the top of the Blender interface, you can see I have one object selected out of three total objects in the scene. Okay, so if I point up here into the 3D view window and I unselect everything, and now I say scene C dot selected objects, now I get an empty list, right? Or if I go up here and I select all three objects, now you see that I have the cube, the lamp, and the camera as the selected objects. Okay, so, but now let's select just the cube object. And another way to see the, let's see, I'm looking in here. Somewhere up in here. So a lot of the things in this list will never use under normal circumstances, but this is just the complete list of everything. You can see I'm not really a total expert at this by what I'm trying to teach you here. But that's okay because we're all students, including me, the teacher. Scene, there we go. And let's see, if I say c.scene, this tells us the name of the current scene. And the name of the current scene is the scene called scene. Okay, because in this whole world, we only have one scene anyway. And, but let's start looking at the bpy.data, which has a shortcut called d.data. So if I look at d, that is data. If I just look at d, it says it's a Blender Python structure of blend called blend data. And if I do a dir on D, these are the different parts of bpy.data. So it has actions, armatures, some of these other things. In here are meshes, and we also have objects and somewhere in here are the scenes, okay? So if I do, if I look at bpy data dot scenes, it's a collection with one item in it. So I can look at the zeroth one, or if I wanted to know how many scenes do I have, I could say length of d dot scenes, and it would say one, because this is a Python list that just has one item in it. And since it's a dictionary, BPY scenes, I can do the typical Python thing of looking at the keys in the dictionary. And so bpy.scene.keys tells me there's one key in it called scene. Okay, so these are all basic Python things that you can do to introspect and find out what you have inside of something as you're learning about what you have at your disposal. It's one of the beautiful things about Python being a scripting, interpreted scripting language rather than a compiled language, is you can, with the command line interface of in Python, you can actually, think on the fly and just make and discover on the fly before you write a final script that is written like a real program. You can play with it in the command line here at this prompt and kind of experiment and learn some things. Okay. But another item in our dictionary is this one called objects. So if I look at the objects.
Hello.
Hello. Hi.
Hi.
You gotta
change before you close the
door. Okay, I better close my door. That was Wendy getting home from her little outing she had today. Okay, so if I look at, I can look at capital D, but now let's just do it like you might do in a script. You can say bpy data dot objects dot keys to see what objects are available. So we have camera, cube, and lamp, right? Let's start looking deeper at our cube. So I can go back here and I can say obj equal bpy data objects cube to get the cube. And now if I do a dir on obj, which is an object called cube, these are all the things that are available to us for objects. And you can see there's a whole panoply of different properties or metadata associated with an object in Blender. But one of the ones in this list that I'll show you is it has a name. So obj.name says cube. Well, that's not surprising because it's the object called cube. And then another thing an object has is a type, because in Blender, objects are really a container that can contain many different types of geometric or other kinds of object properties. So for example, a moment ago, when we were looking at what objects do we have, well, one of them is a camera. Well, the camera is not a cube and it's not a lamp. Camera is the camera, and it's a particular kind of object. If I say bpy dot data dot objects camera dot type, it says its type is camera in all caps, right? And if I do the same thing for the lamp, you can see it's a lamp, right? So an important thing to keep in mind is that at the level of the objects class in Blender, an object can have many different types. And generally for what we're going to be doing with our scripting is we're going to be operating on objects that have a type of mesh. Okay. And so an object is a container that contains the properties of the real type of object that the object is. So, but the object itself is just a container. But, you know, what do they have in common, right? So what these different objects have in common is, well, they're items in the scene. The camera is in the scene, the cube is in the scene, the lamp is in the scene, and they have a position in 3D space. And in the case of the camera, it has an orientation. The cube has an orientation. This type of lamp is just a point source lamp, but there's other kinds of lamps that are directional, and so they have an orientation too. And so the objects have a position in 3D space and an orientation. So these are things that all objects in the scene might have in common, even though a camera is not at all the same as a cube in terms of what you would do with it, right? Okay. So, but the object that we made a handle to, well, so let me go back and show you a trick here was, I made bpy.data.objects_cube. I assigned that item to a local variable that I made in Blender called obj. Okay. And from now on, until I change my mind about it, OBJ, the variable called OBJ will be equivalent to typing in this whole command. Okay. Okay. Now, one of the properties, another property the object has, but besides a name and a type, another property it has is whether the object is selected or not. And this property called selected is readable and writable, and it's a Boolean. And it's either true or false. So if I say obj.selected, has no attribute selected. Okay, so there, I thought it had an attribute called selected.
I think it's select.
Ah, select, not selected. Thank you. And right now, it says false. Well, because right now what's selected is the camera. So now if I click on cube and I say obj.selected, now it says true. So you can see that my Python interface here is kind of live, and it's being updated on the fly as I click on things. And if I can click on multiple things all at once, and now it says it's true, even though I have three things selected. It's true that the cube is also one of the three that's selected. And now if I select nothing, now it says false again, okay? Okay, so this now, since it's readable and writable though, I can say obj.select equal true. And notice up here, the cube is not currently selected. And if I say true, it's selected, okay? And a little while ago, I said that context for operations is sensitive to whether it's an operation that operates on one or more objects, or operates on the scene, or does something else. And a lot of the times, operations can only be performed on a object if it's selected, right? So by being able to say obj.select, that allows me to make that object be the selected object, or be a selected object. Now, what if the operation I want to perform can only work if there's one and only one object selected. I can do that. I can unselect it by by doing it by name. And remember, OBJ is the cube object and not any of these other objects. I specifically made it point at the cube object. There is an operation in the select menu. So in the select menu, there is a menu item called deselect or select all. And you can see the Python command for it is bpy.ops.object.selectAll, select underscore all. And then it says action equal toggle. And there's other actions that are available to us besides toggle. But let me copy that Python command and paste it. And so this operation is called select all. And it makes sense to think about this as being an operation that's operating on the scene, the current visible scene, but it's operating on the objects in the scene, and it's selecting all the objects or unselecting all the objects, or toggling. In this case, it says toggle. So toggle means if everything's selected, then unselect it, and if everything's unselected, then select it, right? So it toggles back and forth. And so if I say, if I do that, now it toggles everything selected. If I do it again, it unselects everything. If my cube were selected, then if I do the toggle, the way toggle works, if there's one or more objects that are selected, then it will toggle them off, toggle everything off, even if there's only one selected. And then, of course, if I do it again, then it selects everything, right? So it behaves just the same way as it would if I were doing this using the hotkeys on the keyboard or using the menu. So this Python command is exactly equivalent to the menu item. Okay, but there's other options besides select. What if there was one or more objects selected, and I really did want to, and in my Python script, so when you're writing a Python script to automate some process, you don't necessarily know the current state of the scene or the world or what the user has selected or not selected. And your script needs to guarantee, if your script is going to be successful and do what you want it to do, you have to put the scene in a state that you know what it is, so that the rest of your commands in your script will operate normally, right? So a lot of the work done in scripting is first to set the state of the scene or the objects in the scene into a known state to start with at the beginning of your script, so that everything after that can happen according to your plan. So there are two other actions with select all, and one is called deselect. And what deselect does is, no matter what state the scene is in, this will deselect everything, right? So even if everything was selected, if everything is selected, it deselects everything. If only one thing is selected, it deselects everything. And if nothing is selected, like it is now, then it deselects everything, right? So it doesn't toggle, it sets it to a known state. And what if I wanted to select everything? I could say action equals select, right? And then that guarantees that everything is selected, right? And oftentimes, uh, what what you can do in your script is maybe set everything to deselected, and then for one particular object that you know you want to operate on by name, you can say, you know, you can say bpy data.objects cube. If you know the object that you want to operate on is cube, you can then select just that one object by name, and then you know for sure that that object is the one that's selected, because first you deselected everything, and then you selected the one that you wanted. Okay. Let's see, we have 7 minutes left. Let me show you a few more things about the cube, right? So I have the cube, and here's my OBJ. And the cube is type mesh. And I've said before that objects are containers for a specific kind of object. In this case, the cube is a container for a thing of type mesh. And so how do I get to the data of the mesh? Well, for first of all, if I look at the dir of the object, it just says, you know, well, if I do the Python type to find what type is OBJ itself. So don't get confused by this. So if I say obj.type, I'm asking Python to tell me the type of the OBJ to report to me the type attribute of the OBJ class, of this instance of an OBJ class in Python, okay? And type, the type attribute is one of the attributes of an OBJ. You can see it right there. And so I can say obj.type and it tells me mesh, right? Don't mix that up with the Python type command or function, the type function, where I can tell Python to tell me what type is OBJ itself. And what it says is it's a class of bpy types.object, right? So this is telling me that it's a Blender Python type dot called object. And that's a class, right? So it's a Python class. If I get confused about what things I have, this introspection capability of Python lets me kind of really be sure and disambiguate things. Okay. Our OBJ has a type of mesh, and another property that an object. But if I look through this thing, we know that the cube is a mesh, and the mesh probably has vertices and faces, right? Because it's made of 8 corners and 6 square faces. In this case, I think the sides are squares and not triangles, and they're not triangulated yet. But if I look through this list of all the attributes that this class has, this object class has, you won't find anywhere in here the vertices or faces. And that's because those things are contained in the data that's plugged into the mesh. And where's the data? The metadata. And the metadata is stored in this attribute of the object class called data. Let's see. So I can say I'm going to make a variable called m for the mesh, obj.data. So now if I do type M, it says it's a class BPY types mesh. Okay, so the data for that's contained in this object is mesh data, and it's stored in class mesh. So now I can do a dir on that thing, and now I can find what are the attributes of a mesh. And it's got lots of attributes, but built in here at the very end of the list, it's in alphabetical order, are the vertices of the mesh. And then somewhere in here are the polygons of the mesh and also the edges of the mesh. And so let's look at the vertices of the mesh. This is going to be m dot vertices. Now I can do a type of what the vertices are, and it says it's a BPY prop collection. So a collection, you'll learn, is a class in the Blender Python interface that is a special kind of class that kind of acts like a list and acts like a dictionary. But it's not really a list, and it's not really a dictionary. It just kind of acts like a list sometimes, depending on how you use it, or it acts like a dictionary in other contexts, right? Or in how you access this class. So it has some. So this is a class, which means it has some member functions of the class, and some of those member functions allow this class to act like a list, and other member functions allow it to kind of act like a dictionary. But don't be confused about it being really a list or being really a dictionary. It's not really either one. It's really this thing called a BPY prop collection. Okay, we have one more minute. So let me just show you the vertices. So if I do a length of this, so since it can act like a list sometimes, I can do len on it. And it says it has 8 vertices. And so what do the vertices look like? I can say V0. And it says V0 is vertices 0. So it didn't really... it didn't really show me the values, the XYZ coordinates of vertex 0. So to see that, I want to do a dir on V0. And the dir of V0 says it has these properties, and one of them is called CO. And CO are the coordinates. There's also a normal, if there's a normal vector associated with the vertex. And there's also an index number, which tells us what index number that vertex has in the whole object. So if I take V0 and I look at its coordinates, now I can see the coordinates are a vector with coordinate 1, 0.9999, comma, minus 1. So this is the 1, 1, minus 1. So this is the upper, the bottom back right vertex, I think. This is the X coordinate and the Y coordinate, and this is the Z coordinate. And if I look at its index, it probably says 0, because we haven't done anything to scramble or renumber the vertices in this object. So its number in the list is equal to its index value that it has associated with it. But these two things don't necessarily have to be equal to each other in the general case. Okay, and then I could do the same thing for the polygons. Let's see, I could say P equal M dot polygons, and I can do a len of P. And now I can see there are 6 polygons. And if I look at P, if I do a dir on P0, that'll be the 0th polygon. You can see it has an item called vertices, and it has some other items. One of the items is whether it's selected or not, and I think the same was true of our vertex. So when we're in edit mode in Python, remember we can be in edit mode and we can select vertices, edges, or faces. And so just like the object can be selected or not, individual vertices or polygons can be selected or not. Also, they can be hidden, and the object can also be hidden. So let's see, if I go here and I say obj.hide, it says false because it's not hidden, but I could say obj.hide equal true, and now we have hidden the cube, okay? And if I say false, then I can unhide the cube. This is another property of the object that you have control over, and there are certain operations that can only be performed if you have one object selected and that object is not hidden. Okay, so that's another control over the state of objects in your scene that you have to be aware of when you're writing scripts that automate processing and manipulating the objects. Okay, so I'll leave you. We should probably get off now. But I'll leave you with this one parting thought. Well, first of all, you know, in the coming week, or you know, before we have our next session, maybe you can practice some of these things yourself. There's documentation on the Blender website, but you can also, you know, look at the menus and see what, you know, what Python. You know, what the Python command is for doing different things. And maybe you can play around with some of those things. But the parting thought I want to leave you with is, we didn't cover it yet, but I just want you to have this in mind, because it's a really cool thing. And if this was the only thing we could do, it would already be pretty powerful to be able to manipulate objects and read the values of objects. You can also change the values of the vertices, say, to move vertices around, and you can do all kinds of analysis on these. You can measure their the areas of the polygons and the volumes of these objects. You can do all kinds of things to them. And if that's all you could do, it would already be really powerful. But the most powerful thing in the user interface, and we'll cover this next time, get started with it next time, is the fact that you can add your own metadata to these objects. So remember when I did a dir on obj, we saw only these attributes. You're allowed to add your own metadata and your own attributes to objects that contain your own data, your own way, that has whatever meaning you want it to have. And that metadata can hang off of the whole scene, an individual object, an individual vertex of the object, or an individual edge or polygon of the object. You could hang metadata off of absolutely anything, and multiple kinds of metadata, not just one kind. You can add any amount of extra metadata to any of these objects, right? So this capability of Blender is what makes it so powerful. And when you save your scene, that metadata gets automatically saved in the blend file that it makes. So you don't have to do anything special in Blender to after you add your metadata, you then don't have to do anything special to tell Blender to save it for you. When you save your file, Blender will automatically save it. And next time you open your blend file, that data will still be there the way you left it, just the way you left it. And so your script can can add metadata and can read back metadata and use it in any way you want your script to use it. Okay, so I'll leave you with that parting thought, and we will get together probably next Wednesday at same time.
Maybe, Tom, before we finish, Lynn had a question that I'm not sure. I mean, she is asking how do we check what are the options for action in Blender?
Oh, for the select, you mean for that select object option, or what are we?
Yeah. You were showing the deselect all or select, and you can pass in the argument action. Then, so we have toggle, we have the other two options.
Yeah. Let me, let's see. I'm not going to find it that way. I already still have it here. Yeah. I still have it in my clipboard. So you can say toggle, or you can say deselect, action equal deselect, which deselects everything, or the action can be select, which forces it to select everything. So I think you can have toggle, the options are toggle, select, or deselect.
Right. So my question was, is there like a way, say, sometimes you can do tab and shows the available options? To quickly see what are the options.
That's a good question. Maybe that works. Let me see. Action equal, and then I say tab. No.
Yeah, I didn't.
Without a complete doesn't work.
I think it might depend on. Maybe Bob has played with that more than I have. I think it depends on certain settings in your terminal, in your window manager, how your particular computer or operating system that you're on interprets the different keys on the keyboard. Let me scroll to the very top of this thing, and it says autocomplete is control space. Aha, control space. Huh, it's not auto-completing. And I don't know why, but it's not auto-completing.
Can you just press the auto-complete button?
So it will auto-complete this, but not the rest of it. So if I say select, object.select underscore all by layer by type camera, blah, 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 blah. And if I say all, with an A, that should auto-complete all, because there's only one thing that begins with the letter A. Nice. But then after that, it's not telling me anything else. It says action equal toggle, but it's not giving me the other options. So that's not super useful. Would be much nicer if all that worked nice. But there is documentation for this on the Blender website. And maybe I will quickly... I'm going to quit from here. Let me quit from here and let me pull in something here. And I'll go to blender.org. It looks like Blender 2.9 is out already. Jeez. Okay. They're moving really fast. But under support, there's documentation, and we're using the Blender Python interface, so that's under the Blender API reference. And in here, since I know that I'm working with bpy.ops, what was it, objects, select, all object operators, okay, these are all the different object operators. It's in alphabetical order, and somewhere down here, and you can see the documentation is pretty nice. They've been up updating it and improving it a lot over the years. And somewhere way down in here is going to be select all. It's in alphabetical order. Modifiers, paths, QRS, select all. Okay. Ah, okay. There is one more called invert. So toggle toggles on and off. Select selects all elements. Deselects all elements. And inverts the selection. That means anything that was selected becomes deselected. Anything that was deselected becomes selected. So it inverts the sense of the selection of everything in the scene.
I can also make a comment about this question. Since the interpreter or the terminal in the in Blender is the standard Python interpreter, what you can do, you can, let's say you have an object and there is some kind of a method, you can obtain this method with using a dot. Let's say L is a list and you would like to see the options of some parameters of this list. For example, the function is index. What you can do, L.index is basically the functor form of it. So you can use help in parentheses, L.index, then it gives you the doc string of this function.
Yes.
So this is one way. If the doc string is properly written, then those optional values for keyword arguments, you can obtain them.
Yeah.
If it depends on the basically implementation of the function.
So I can maybe show that quick, see if that works correctly. I've had trouble with that. They may have improved that. So we're using Blender 2.79, not Blender 2.9. And maybe they've improved it. But let me go into the scripting interface again, and I can do what Barack just said. Help on bpy.ops.object.select. All, and it often scrolls off the screen, but it and it's not very helpful. It's just giving you, it's not really the doc string for that function that I wrote in. It's giving me that this thing is an operator, but we already knew it was an operator, or we should have. And it's telling us these are the things that an operator has, but we didn't want to know that. We wanted to know how to use the select all function, right? Or maybe I had to put parentheses on it. Ah, okay. That was maybe a little bit better. Oh, but this just says help on set object. That's not helpful either, right? So I think so this is consistent with what I've seen before, that the help function in Python doesn't really help well, because I think they haven't made the document strings for the BPY ops be set up the right way. Okay. So that's probably enough for today. We'll get deeper into this. There's a lot to learn, and we're starting with really simple basic things first, so you can start to see it, and then we'll get deeper and deeper into it. Things will become more and more useful, but until we cover this basic stuff first, we can't really jump all the way to the super useful stuff right off the bat. So next time we'll start to get deeper into it. Okay. I'll stop sharing my screen. And I'll stop recording. Where's my record button? There we are.